Our scripture this morning, which I will read to us, is coming from the book of James. James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Hear these words from the Lord. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are right, religious and do not bridle their tongue but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow, we thank you. We thank you for your word and for allowing us to be a kind of first fruit of your creatures. We are your beloved. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. Let us not be deceived. Holy Spirit, embolden us so that we can welcome the word of truth. Open our ears, O God, so we can hear and listen. And then let us be doers of your word and not only hearers. For in our doing, we will be blessed. It is the name of Jesus Christ we call upon this morning, and let the church say amen. 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 So last time I preached, I kind of went through a lot of my call story and all of the ways in which I got to Duke and Durham and up here in front of y'all. Once you say yes to the call of God, believe you me that you will be opposed. Pastor Cleve last week spoke about how we are opposed. And one of the biggest lies of the enemy is that he doesn't exist. That is what we, even as followers of Jesus Christ, sometimes believe. But when you say yes to God, when you answer any call on your life, believe me, you will be opposed. I was opposed last year. It was my first year in pastoral ministry, and I was appointed to a church in Eastern North Carolina. I saw some faces. Being from New Jersey, I did not know the issues, as it were, with Eastern North Carolina, so I was excited to go to my first pastoral appointment. Needless to say, I was violently opposed. Spiritual forces of wickedness powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, came against me, against my preaching, against my teaching, against my very incarnational being as a black woman. One of the staff there, someone who I became really good friends with, said, why don't we do a Bible study and open it up to women on the book of James? She invited me because it would be an opportunity for me to come and just receive. Just come and sit down, and I won't go into who it was, but apparently you just listen to this person on a video and go through a notebook, and there's a Bible study. I was so blessed by this time of receiving from the Lord. This book, James, this fiery preacher, bishop, as it were, and leader of the Jerusalem church. I was familiar with his letter, also known as wisdom literature, a little prophetic. And this was the first time I had read it in the midst of some serious trials and tribulations. The words literally popped out to me. Count it all joy. Consider it joyful when you are going through trials and tribulations, knowing that the testing of your faith will produce patience. But let patience have her perfect work, so you may be complete, perfect, mature, lacking nothing. In the translation that we read for the class, patience was replaced with endurance, perseverance. That's what I needed to hear. Let your faith produce endurance, perseverance. James is a fiery book, 5 chapters, real short and sweet, but it's jam-packed. It's going to give you what you need, especially in the midst of a trial. It will reorient you to what you may have become blind to, that as a child of the living God, there are forces that are opposed to your very incarnational being. James doesn't want us to become complacent in this struggle. He wants us to know what we don't know. James wants us to remember whose we are and who we are. The lectionary text starts off with verse 17, but I want us to look at verse 16 to start. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Everything I read to you comes with the premise. Do not be deceived. Don't forget. Don't take it for granted. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. The word of truth comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. Pastor Cleve last week reminded us of this concept of welcome, and it is one of Citywell's covenant practices to welcome the gifts, welcome the word of God, welcome each other. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. And someone once reminded me that sometimes we, even as Christians, give ourselves an external measure of good. And then we try to say, oh, God lives up to that external measure. No, no, no. God is the measure of good. There is no external measure in by which we are trying to have him live up to. When we say God is good all the time and all the time, God is good. Remember, there is no external good that God is out there trying to live up to, or that you should try to have God live up to. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from God. Last year, I had a lot of moments of realization, as I think it's Oprah would say, aha moments. Had a lot of those last year. And one in particular, after I had preached a sermon, I believe it was on Moses, and I really like Moses, y'all. And I thought I had did something on Sunday morning. And then someone came into my office on Monday as people sometimes do. And he told me, your sermon was really good. It was a good sermon, but, and I was like, oh boy, here's the but. And he said, you just need to tell more stories. You need to tell people a story where they can take that scripture that you try to explain so beautifully with your exegetical skills and make it click for them with a human story. I mean, isn't that what Jesus was doing all throughout the parables? Making sure that people understood the life lessons he was teaching with stories that they could relate to. Well, needless to say, I was not happy about this almost 80-year-old white man telling me about my preaching skills. I felt some sort of way. And I told him, thank you so much, and scurried him on out of my office. And the minute I made sure he was out of my office, I got convicted. I mean, this man had 40-plus years of preaching behind him. He had been a trailblazer in the United Methodist Church, making sure people like me, black women, could stand before you as commissioned and ordained elders. The Holy Spirit immediately convicted me and said, perhaps you were not welcoming the word of your brother. Listen to what he said. He is trying to help you become a better preacher and teacher. So just in case y'all didn't get it, I did what he told me to do by telling you a story about telling stories. Amen? To this day, I tell more stories. Rid ourselves of the sordidness and rank growth of wickedness. Welcome with meekness the implanted word, even the word of brothers and sisters who don't look like you. You must understand this. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because our anger does not produce God's righteousness. That's a tricky thing in this age, isn't it? We're all speaking. Everyone has something to say all the time. In person, on Twitter, Facebook, everywhere else, we all have so much to say. But here, James is reminding us to listen. To listen, and in listening, we can receive from God, even as we receive from each other. I had an opportunity this morning to lead a couple of folks who are interested in being covenant partners through our CityWell covenant practices. The covenant practice of listen, hear these words. Because God listens to us, we as a CityWell family covenant to grow in our ability to listen to God through deepening disciplines of prayer and attentiveness to the Holy Spirit in God's gift of Scripture, to become better listeners in friendship and even in conflict, and in seeking to build relationships that tear down barriers, not build walls. To listen more to our communities, that we might know our neighbors, know where God is already at work, and know how we are called to bear witness to Jesus. In Eastern North Carolina, there was a lot of opportunity for conflict, and I seem to be in a lot of it all the time. One such opportunity was when someone invited me to one of my favorite places, Dunkin' Donuts, to have coffee. That was Jersey accent coffee. And to be able to sit and talk. And I got really nervous because I knew he wanted to talk about the book of Revelation, our common interest, but I didn't know where it would go after that. We did not see the book of Revelation even the same theologically. We did not see anything similar politically, so I didn't know where this conversation was going to go. But I agreed to go and talk with him, to have coffee with him. was one of the most blessed times of my life. To sit there with someone who I know I oppose politically and even theologically, to listen to him tell me about his concerns, for me to pray with him and to genuinely go to God on my brother in Christ's behalf. I listened to him and I allowed what he said to change me, to see the view of someone who is not part of my tribe, to hear what he had to say. I didn't leave being changed politically or theologically, but I gained truly a brother in Christ. Do we listen to those who we know we don't agree with? For in listening to them, perhaps God is implanting in us a word of truth. James is interested in the concept of listening and hearing and doing. Listening, hearing, because it will cause us to action, cause us to act. The book of James, for me, was beautifully written because James used everything that he had to get his point across. The scholars agree that there is Greek concepts mixed all into this book with the language and Jewish ideals and values. James used what he had. One place that it is clear that he is making an equation between hearing and doing is that all of our hearing must come with action. Be not hearers of the word only without being doers. It was interesting because one of my favorite times that I did have in the midst of the trial was leading a Bible study on prayer. I led the group through the Bible, focusing on prayer and how God uses prayer to get us through trials and tribulations. It was very close to home for me. One prayer in particular was the Shema. This is a Jewish prayer that the Jewish people still say to this day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. As I dig deeper into the Shema, this prayer that you can find in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it was beautiful to see how the Hebrew language was used even in this prayer. The Shema literally means hear, hear, just like the first word of the prayer. Hear, or pay attention, focus, respond, do something, act, obey, carry out the wishes of the one who is talking, covenant. I say something, you do something, you will act according to what is said. This is all wrapped up in the word Shema, a relationship between what God says and what we do, the relationship between what we say we're about and what we do. How is it that we say that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but somehow we get to hate our neighbor? How is it that we don't hear and covenant to do? In conclusion, our behavior speaks and tells who we really are, what we're really about. And if it doesn't, James, the half-brother of Jesus, God, to have Jesus as your big brother. He says, if your behavior doesn't speak for itself, perhaps you are deceiving yourself. You must understand this, that to be a child of God is to receive, to hear with the purpose of doing. Amen. Amen. Amen.